All righty. We are 1 week into spring training here, and we get to talk about some of the more intriguing camp battles, as well as some updates, health updates on recent injuries. We have talk about that. And then we'll also talk about the non-roster guys that have been impressing in camp. And then we'll finish it off by playing a game of starter, reliever, or Reno. And of course, our three candidates for that will be Tommy Henry, Ryan Nelson, Slade Ciccone, because we want to talk about guys that are doing well in camp. So anyway, so we're going to start off with Blaze Alexander in the backup shortstop.
We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice, man.
In other words.
Okay, Allen Iverson.
Yeah, that's today. Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Blaze Alexander's had a great spring. I've actually been impressed. I know a lot of people have written him off, but the kind of exit velocity and contact he's making, it's he's made a pretty good case for himself in like a week and a half. So,
yeah, I definitely think.
Do you think he'll make the roster?
Opening day roster? No. But will he be the first guy they call up from Reno if someone gets hurt? Yes. I think that will be the case. He's definitely pushed himself up in the pecking order. I think he's especially if, say, for example, Suarez or Ketel Marte goes down, well, Alexander certainly can hold the fort down almost on an everyday basis while they're down. And I think, of course, Alexander himself has some concerning health concerning health problems of his own to worry about. But,
Yeah, no, I mean, the other thing is he's a much more valuable trade chip now. Like, he had a hot start to last year, and then he got hit by a pitch in his hand, and that kind of derailed his season. But when he's healthy, he's looked pretty good in the last year. I think he's, you know, he wasn't in the conversation before. I would really, if he'd already been called up instead of Lawler last season, that would make the whole – just the whole decision-making process a lot easier.
Going back to last year, they only considered him as an option at third base when they had that, when they traded Rojas, and then days after Longoria went down with his injury. But the thing that kind of concerns with Alexander is you look at his game count, he's never played 100 games in a minor league season, regular season. I think he's played.
Yeah.
I think the most he's played is 97. In 2019 is, well, actually he's probably, actually I take it back, he's played more than that, 100 in 2019 if you count playoffs. Wait, yeah, you count playoffs because but overall, the, if you look at his minor league numbers, the track record is actually pretty decent. I mean, he had that one terrible year with Hillsborough in 21, and and that was your strikeout rate like spiked to 30% and that, and it's, and we look at it in hindsight now, that ended up being a total fluke bad year, which can happen sometimes.
You know, sometimes it's just noise too. It's statistical noise. Doesn't mean anything. You know, like you can't always extrapolate, you know, from just like basically abstract data. It sometimes it doesn't mean anything. And that's, you know, Blaze's health, I definitely, that is a big, you know, question mark with him. I think that probably is a factor in him not being called up last season. Not necessarily a lack of faith in him, but
I literal mic dropped. That's what that bang noise was.
But, you know, it's really, I think had he not been injured, he might not have been called up, you know, last year. I mean, I'm saying, you know, the injury was earlier in the year, but I think seeing him, you know, the team wanted him to stay healthy and finish out the season in the minor league. So it makes sense, kind of, in hindsight. I still understand that process there with calling up Lawler instead of Blaze, but, you know, they're going to have to make a decision pretty soon. I know Lawler will probably start in Reno unless, you know, he gets – you know, unless he gets the regular playing time, it's not, probably not going to happen. I'd be surprised if he does, but I could see Blaze, you know, being the utility infielder, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Blaze,
something along those lines.
Not necessarily told that the hit tool is going to be good enough for him to hold down an everyday position. However, given how skilled he is defensively, and he's going to have, and that's going to carry him quite a bit, because he's if you were an everyday second baseman, he'd win a Gold Glove. If you were everyday third baseman, he'd be a Gold Glove finalist. Now, if you were everyday shortstop, we don't know where he'd rank defensively, because obviously there's a lot better defenders at that position. And of course, when I say he could win a Gold Glove at second base, I've seen 4 games of him at second base this spring, and he's consistently doing ridiculous stuff as well.
He's impressed me in the limited time I've seen him play defensively.
Yeah, especially at second. Because the times I've seen him at second base is Chicago, where D-backs were throwing a no-hitter. The guy smokes a line drive up the middle, and he leaps 2 feet off the ground to catch that thing. And like that. And then against Milwaukee a week later, guy, a shattered bat against Rodriguez, shattered bat, and the ball's going all over the place. He makes a diving stop in the hole and then almost makes like a circus shot, a circus like throw. It was just a little bit late getting to first base, and he almost gunned down Garrett Mitchell doing that. I think it was Mitchell. It's a fast runner. He almost threw out Garrett Mitchell on a broken bat roller in the hole. It was either him or the guy banging behind him. I don't remember. I didn't score the game, but.
Yeah.
But then later in the game, facing Jackson Churio in a high leverage situation, manages to stop a ground ball up the middle and gets the out at second, preserving the double play, which happens on the very next pitch. Kind of thing. That's kind of the stuff that we've been seeing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he definitely impresses when he makes those kind of, you know, spectacular play. That's a little, you know, I think he's definitely put himself back in the conversation of, you know, there's something there with him that, you know, the team can find value in.
And also the fact he's not leaving outs on the field either while making these plays.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing we have to remember.
You know, you can only put up with an offensive black hole. You know, it doesn't matter how you can be a defensive wizard. If you're an out every single time that you come up to the plate, your value is limited. Keep you kind of with our theme of backup shortstop. The team signed Elvis Andrus to a minor league deal and spring training invite. What do you think of his chances of making the team?
All right, let's have Tori talk about that first.
Yeah, well, it is an opportunity. That's what I told him. There's nothing that's been promised to him. I told him just go out and play his game and let it fall where it may. But what he will get are some opportunities to show us what he can do. And that excites a lot of us. It excites every one of us. There's a lot of moving parts to some very key decisions that we need to make on the stretch here. With him playing the way he can, his name is going to enter into those conversations. That's my expectation. And he will get an opportunity. And that's all he asked for. I know in signing the deal and some of the conversation was, give me the opportunity. And when he came into my office, he thanked me for the opportunity. And I said, you will get that opportunity, and you will get honest feedback from all of us. So we're excited about this.
So, I mean, I look at it, obviously, I feel like there isn't really a roster spot up for grabs with the infield. They're going to carry 6 infielders. And assuming everyone's healthy, they're going to go with Rivera and Peterson as the backups, even though, in my opinion, it doesn't make sense on roster fit, because you have Rivera can play both corner infielders, whereas you have Peterson, who's a third baseman / second baseman. So it's like you're overcovered at third base, or you've turned Rivera into a backup first baseman. So that's kind of the weird thing, but that's how they're going to roll. And it also kind of exposes them a little bit at shortstop. Now, of course, the D-backs had an injury at the shortstop position. Like, if Perdomo were to go down, they'd be screwed for that game. But they do have 40-man roster options for the next day. Yeah. Obviously, like, we talked, Blaze being one of them, Lawler, another shortstop. And in the case of Elvis Andrus, if he's not on the opening day roster, he's not going to be in Reno.
Yeah, exactly.
He's already paid his dues with the league, so it's like, if he doesn't have a major league shortstop job, I could see him retiring right then and there, or just waiting until someone gets hurt.
I mean, yeah, he's pushing 36, so He's definitely at the end. I mean, he was still valuable with the glove. I mean, he only had an 81 WRC plus, but he still managed to put up 1.1 F4, which tells me that he's still defensively valuable. You know, I think it's more something like, yes, you know, in case of an injury, there is not necessarily, it's like, I mean, you can only really turn to some rookie shortstops if Perdomo goes down. So, like, that's it gives him a few more options. I do like the way Corey said it, like, you know, just to give him the opportunity. That's kind of what I figured. I don't think there's a, you know, unless there's a freak accident, I don't see him making a team.
Well, I mean, it's also entirely possible he could, because, like I said, if something happens to Pearson, obviously you need someone who can cover the middle infield. And Rivera doesn't really give you coverage in the middle infield, even though they're, I don't think I've seen it yet, but they're giving reps to Rivera and Pearson at shortstop, or at least they're planning to. But I feel like they're less competent at shortstop comparatively even to Ketel Marte. But that's just my opinion.
Okay. I mean, we already know what my preference is there. Is like, you just give that, you, assuming Lawler has shown enough that he's ready, you just make him the starting shortstop. When Perdomo comes back, he may be in a different role, or, you know, they may have to figure it out from there.
If Lawler bumps Perdomo on shortstop, Perdomo becomes your fifth infielder because he can back up.
Yeah, that's fine.
Not first base. And then Rivera kind of becomes your backup first baseman right then and there.
Yeah, like I'm totally fine with that. I think that's actually the scenario I prefer. I don't think the team's comfortable with, you know, relying on a 22-year-old shortstop that has, you know, less than a month of experience. Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. He's tremendously young. They're a playoff contender. Do you really want to go with that? I mean, if they're forced to, that's what I would do, but they may feel more comfortable with Elvis Andrews. So, well, it's a wait and see. We're still early in spring.
Oh, I mean, the thing with Andres is you also have to make a 40-man roster move if you put him on the team. Yeah, you're not going to DFA it. Alexander didn't make it happen.
Who are you going to get rid of?
Or trade him.
Paven Smith. Paven.
Yeah, his attempt to backhand stop a ball, a routine ground ball to first base off Mitchell was a little disappointing, but... But I digress. He had a nice at bat in that game. I mean, the problem with Smith they tried making him an outfielder, which was a mistake.
At the Snakes on the Diamond podcast, we love shitting on Paven Smith here at the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. And you know what, Paven, if you're watching this, we love you. You're a wonderful guy. It's business, strictly business. And we're talking about practice anyway. So why does it matter?
He looked better in practice than the game, but needs more practice.
He does not have the reps at first base, unfortunately, which that kind of go into the next segment here on the injuries. With Christian Walker getting hit in the hand, thankfully it was just a close call, not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But the team does not have a lot of depth at first base.
Wait, they have depth at first base?
No, I'm saying they don't.
Oh.
Like, we don't really have to have the. I mean, it's Paven. I mean, you have Paven Smith, Manuel Rivera in a pinch. Melendez has had an awful spring, so he's not really an option.
Melendez a little bit later.
Your best.
As well.
I know, like, in the past, we talked about, like, De Los Santos, which he's not on the team anymore. We may see him again, though. He's not having a great spring. I wouldn't be surprised
Cleveland can have him.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, they'll do something.
Okay.
They can keep him.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
He's a diamond dozen.
So Christian Walker, how is he coming back on
From what I heard from Torrey, and this isn't just Walker, but also Alec Thomas, Jace Peterson and I cannot say his name. Eugenio Suarez. We're going to call him Gino from now on.
There you go. Yeah, Gino Suarez. But yeah, Eugenio.
But yeah, so that's the good news is, and I reported this before the game against Milwaukee Sunday that all four players that are currently on the men will be back by Tuesday. Like Jace Peterson will start Monday against Chicago is what I heard. And then Walker, Thomas, and Suarez will be in the lineup Tuesday against San Diego. So you'll get to watch, and that's the San Diego game is televised, so you'll be able to watch that. That, or at least that's the plan. So from what I remember, I watched right before when I got to the ballpark, and it was like 10:45-ish, I think, before the Milwaukee game. Went down to the backfields, and I saw Peterson, Suarez, and Walker doing infield drills, throwing everything, the full actions. It's like okay, something. And so I went there. It's like, okay, something's up.
Yeah,
Torrey's gonna have to talk about this, and obviously it came up about halfway through the pregame. Obviously the other main topic was roster cuts, which will be the next segment. So seeing those guys back and doing defensive drills, like, okay, these guys are close. The question is, are they smart? Yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't see that.
Yeah, I would think that just based on, I think Walker's probably going to be picking up a bat, like the last of them, dude. Just because you're getting hit in the hand really affects your ability to like rip the bat. Like I'm not sure where he was hit. I think it was like in here. So why didn't it break anything?
No,
he's not gonna have.
It's more like I wouldn't be.
Where was he in the hand?
I did not see the hit by pitch. I was doing some Statcast research on if certain Giants couldn't hit four seam fastballs because Ryan Nelson was blazing him with four seam fastballs on Thursday, 29th. And then when I finished the research, I looked down and I hear over the comms, it's hit in the press box, hit by pitch. I'm like, what's going on here? And then I look down and I see Christian, and then I don't see Christian Walker at first base. Then I look further to my left and I see the Christian Walker standing in the on deck circle. And I'm like, why is the play stopped? And then Torrey comes out of the dugout. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully it doesn't affect him too much, but that's just my concern is he's it.
I mean, you know, it'll affect him probably the first few games he's back. Yeah. But that's okay. Those games don't count. It should be fully. I don't think
it's gonna be a problem.
We still got what, 3 weeks from Thursday when the season starts. Yeah, opening day comes up on you quickly. Feels like yesterday I was covering full squad. It's like taking video of Zach Gallen doing his bullpen session.
Yeah, so we we're already at the first cuts of spring training. So, Christian Montes de Oca, Austin Pope, Yumin Lin, Connor Pilkington, JJ DeRozio, Ronaldo Hernandez, Caleb Roberts, Ivan Melendez, as I mentioned earlier, and AJ Vukovic were all assigned to a minor league camp. There's 60 players remain.
Yeah, and since in my pregame prospect list, I had both Ivan and Yumin Lin on in the top 10, I had Torrey say something about those two players. We'll start with Lin.
I've seen the stuff, but it's been a little bit inconsistent, and I don't expect it to always be perfect, especially when you're a young player. You're battling some emotions, there's excitement, you're trying to find that sweet spot of overamping to, you know, worrying, am I underachieving, am I doing enough? So there's a sweet spot in there, and I think he was slowly finding it, but the shape of his pitches, the velocity of his fastball, I liked all that stuff. It just was in a bag that was a little mixed up, and it wasn't coming out at the right times, nor was it coming out with effectiveness. So I think I challenge him to be a little bit more consistent, and I know that he is. He can land four or five pitches per at-bat. In different shapes, different spins, different angles to the plate, but to get to that as soon as possible and continue progressing.
Yeah, I think one thing we forget about Lin is also he's 20 years old. Doesn't turn 21, I think, until July. Yeah. And he's going to be starting. He's going to be in AAA pretty. He's going to be in AAA by mid-season. In fact, I'd argue he should be there now. But
yeah, I mean, it's just not. I worry about him in Reno. Hopefully, he gives us some thought like results and just unexpectedly shuts down the league.
I mean, the thing is with, and this is something that Adam Nichols told me. It's like you're a good pitcher if you have a. It's like you're doing something great if you have a sub-5 ERA pitching for Reno. I think that's what he told me when I bumped into him last week. By the way, shout outs to the Reno Aces. A first rule of Reno is you don't look, baseball card stats aren't important.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't matter.
ERA, batting average, no.
Don't matter.
I ignore it. It's almost impossible to grade pitching. I guess I look at strikeouts per nine and walks per nine. I ignore home runs per nine because, well, it's Reno. It's Coors Field light up there. Coors Field light without the humidor.
You've got to adjust that, like at least to some extent. If a guy's giving you a ton of home runs, like. Even excessive for Reno, that's something to pay attention to, but normally I don't pay any attention to that. Yeah, but I look at walks, strikeouts, and then, you know, just like how do they handle a big inning?
And you know, also
like how they handle that solo home run they gave up in the first inning. Also, like how does that's what you look at.
And also another thing to note is pitching in Reno, they have the first half of the week, they have an automated strike zone. So the strike zone's tighter in Reno than it is at the major league level, typically.
Yeah, I always forget about that. But yeah, that's been the case for two
and plus now? Batters have the ability to challenge. So that means calls go certain batters, pitchers, batters and catchers can challenge. So obviously there's going to be some swing calls in that regard. And that's one thing that people kind of ignore, like one element that kind of ignores, but obviously interviewing a few pitchers from that have pitched up there the last couple of years, like Jarvis, for example, brought it up. I don't remember if Walson brought up when Jack talked to him earlier this spring.
That was definitely
a point about it. Like Tuesday through Thursday, you have the ABS system. And I think the rest of the week you have challenges. And that's more or less what's going on there.
This is so weird to me, like doing that, but whatever. So we're at like the first cuts of the season. I know some of the non-roster guys have.
Well, let's talk about Ivan first.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that first.
Ivan Melendez the also positive. The other.
The only positive is the three walks.
Yeah. So we're going to have Torrey play. I asked Torrey about Ivan before the game. So here's his answer.
I want to make sure he enhances the strengths that he has. I want him to continue to learn about his swing, the pitches that will be sequenced per at bat, the ability to hit in four quadrants and just be a more complete hitter. He's got touch power. We know that. And we know that he's gonna have a big slug. But I also think there's the ability to have a nice strong on base percentage as well. And, you know, that'll be his challenge. It's everybody's challenge every single year. But he's a very, very athletic mover in the box. Defensively, he continues to grow and learn, and I just want to make sure that he gets to all the important things that need to be learned and continue growing, and that's what player development is all about. So I don't know if you guys got to send out this today. So you know that he's been reassigned to minor league camp, so he's gonna get a ton of reps, and he's an exciting player, and I want to see him continue to grow.
I mean, the thing is, obviously, Melendez, who has 80 grade raw, in my opinion, 80 grade raw power, but the problem is he strikes out a third of the time. Yeah. So that's one third of the time you can't get the bat on the ball. That's kind of the conundrum for me.
Amount of strikeouts. Yeah, that's he's gonna need to make a lot more contact and become more selective at the plate. And I have a lot of questions about Melendez. I'm not surprised at all that those were the results. I know Vukovic had similar problems so far this spring. I mean, they both have a ton of strikeouts, and that's the majority of what their at-bats have been.
Yeah, I think Vukovic's not quite as extreme in strikeouts, as upper 20s, but the problem with Vukovic is I'm not seeing the when I watch Vukovic, I'm not seeing the power.
Yeah.
I mean, with Melendez, I've seen him at least flex a couple times.
Well, we have, okay, so Vukovic struck out 10 times in 8 games. Melendez struck out 7 times in 7 games. So, I mean, it's comparable. I mean, it's about the same, in my opinion. Obviously, Vukovic has been able to actually make contact while Melendez, like, get 2 walks. 3 walks is the only positive of his spring so far.
I mean, thinking about Vukovic, his lack of selectivity isn't necessarily in the strikeouts. It's just he's not able. The thing to me is it's, if you're swinging at pitches that you don't necessarily crush and you make contact, you're not necessarily hitting it hard. And that's kind of the thing that worries me. I haven't really seen Vukovic get any extra base hits that were on the ball or him actually get the barrel on the ball. When that's between the fall league and early looks in spring training. That's the thing that kind of concerns me.
I mean, thankfully the Diamondbacks have been very good developing outfielders, and I'm not too concerned about it working out with Vukovic, to be honest. I'd pretty much written him off, to be honest. Like, this, I think about a year ago, maybe two. I don't think he's an everyday player at the major league level.
I mean, best case scenario,
it's harsh, but I don't doubt.
If he can hit lefties, yeah, he's an ideal fourth outfielder for this team. That's why I see it. But I haven't seen numbers wise. He doesn't have any major platoon splits left versus right. Even though obviously minor league platoon splits, you have to take with a major grain of salt. I just imagine Jack's going to come in here, teleport into the, somehow crash the broadcast and remind everyone of that fact.
Yeah. I mean, both those players have some real holes in their offensive game, and it's enough that it's going to be a very strong barrier from them succeeding at the major league level, if having any success. So we both know what they need to work on this year, and that's cutting down the strikeouts and being a little more selective.
I was going to say, within Vukovic's case, it's just it's poor pitch recognition that really hurts him. It's like he has trouble identifying breaking balls, and that's not, and if that's the case, that's not necessarily something you can really fix.
You can't pick up spin necessarily. All
right, so
let's try to find some positives of the players that were cut. I got to look at them in front of me.
I don't think Yumin Lin will be cut next.
Just talk about any of
those. My positive.
No, I mean, he definitely, like, I mean, I'm actually much more of a believer of him after this spring. Like, his stuff, when he's on, he's got some filthy pitches. Like, he definitely could succeed at the major league level with you know.
Yeah. Remember his velocity was his up in his one. Pitches. His one appearance, but I wonder, trying to hit 92, 94 miles an hour, he's overthrowing, and that's a problem kind of thing. But he got up to 93 last year.
I think, there's definitely some pressure on him to perform, and he may be trying to just dispel the biggest knock on him by just,
I mean, he's not a guy
that needs a bit, even if it's subconscious, It could be something like that. I think he'll sort it out this year. He's already a pretty well developed pitcher, in my opinion.
I mean, he's got the repertoire that he doesn't necessarily need to win with velocity, because he can effectively change speeds and he can throw to when he's mentally right. He definitely can hit all the quadrants of the strike zone with different pitches. And it's not like he's throwing crap to the home plate either. Like, he's got legitimate secondary stuff that are all average or better. and the fastball plays a little, obviously the fastball is not an average, velocity wise is below average. And so it's going to be a matter of him being able to spot it. And yeah. Use his fastball to set up his secondary stuff. That's the main thing on Lynn. Caleb Roberts is a guy I think who could be a 26th man player on a roster because he can play so many positions and he's a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, although, he's an actual super utility player.
I don't know about super utility. You know. I feel like a super utility player should be able to play shortstop.
Yeah, but he's got the benefit of being able to play catcher, so... kind of a trade-off there.
I mean, I don't know if you actually want Caleb Roberts catching a game that matters.
Yeah.
But you still have both corner outfield spots in first base.
You know, it's an asset to be able to you know, play a guy, you know, as your emergency third catcher. You know, it's at least nice to have someone who actually has experience in the minor leagues, like being a catcher versus a guy who hasn't, you know, caught a game in God knows how long. That's all I'm saying. It's an interesting tool to have in your, you know, in your skill set as a player.
Even though I would say if Caleb Roberts is catching games for the Diamondbacks, something horrible has happened. Especially though, because yeah, that would mean no more speeding tickets on the bases. That would
No, it means that Gabby Moreno and whoever's the backup catcher on the team went out for food and they got food poisoning. I think is the best scenario where that would apply, where Caleb Roberts is catching a game.
We'll know something wrong. Is it?
It's unfortunate that happened.
We'll know something's wrong if Bryce Terang successfully steals a bag against the D-backs.
Yeah. Other guys that are not like still in the major league camp. There's some names that impressed. Let's talk about those names.
So yeah, we'll start with Kyle Backus, left-hander. Previously non-drafted free agent out of Sam Houston State, but he's kind of flown under the radar. For those that haven't been following us inside the Diamondbacks, we actually followed along with Backus in his successful run in the Arizona Fall League 2 seasons ago. But so far, I'll have to check the numbers again, but I think Backus is up to 3 scoreless innings this spring.
Yeah.
3 scoreless innings this spring. His first 2 outings, he struck out 5 of 6. He flies under radar because he only throws about 90 to 91, but it's coming from a drop down arm slot.
Yeah.
Six strikeouts in 3 innings and has
not bad. Impressive.
Has retired all 9 hitters.
Yeah. It's a very impressive. I mean, he's turned heads this year.
I mean, 91 plays up when you don't pick it up as quickly. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Matt, so if you want to have an idea of what type of delivery Kyle Backus is, take Ryan Thompson and put him in front of a mirror.
Okay.
Basically.
I mean,
that's what Kyle Backus is.
I think I've only seen him actually pitch a couple times. Definitely has a very funky delivery.
I think
he
was on TV on the 24th, if I recall correctly. Yeah, he pitched also against the Angels on March 2nd. That was televised.
He's using, what would that be? It's like he's coming in at like 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I mean, it's almost like horizontal arming, which is
it's a drop down. I think it's a drop down 3/4, kind of low 3/4.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at him right now, and it's
similar arm slot to Chris Sale.
Oh yeah, he drops down a lot lower than I thought he did. Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's really a real asset in the bullpen, just having like that unique, you know, is a totally different look from the rest of the pitching staff. So I think that would be if he can keep up the results, do you think he makes the the opening day roster's bullpen? Like, what do you think?
No, because the only thing that would stop him from making the opening day roster is a 40-man roster move. It's like, okay, why make a 40-man roster move to get him on the roster unless he completely blows away the competition? He's not. And Kyle Backus is throwing cleanup innings in these spring training games, whereas Joe Mantle, Kyle Nelson, and Andrew Salfrank are actually facing major league hitters.
Yeah. Okay. So that you got to discount the results so far a little bit, but
I mean, the fact that he's retired all nine is still that, maybe that, he should face major league hitters.
Yeah, I would hope that Torrey throws him out against a much better, some better hitters this spring, so they can get kind of a better idea of, what they have.
Yeah, not also to mention that Kyle Backus actually has pretty good numbers in Amarillo and Reno too.
Yeah, he does. He stood out to me, just covering him over the last, few years. I think I think he could be a trigger down the road or down the stretch in 2024.
The team definitely has a lot of solid left-hand release options beyond the 40-man roster. Like I said, Hughes has swing and miss stuff. Fastball plays above its velocity with Hughes because of the movement. And he's got better fastball than Nelson, although Nelson's got the best left, probably the best pitch from all their left-hand relievers. That slider's a 70 grade pitch.
Nelson has been actually the standout this spring for me in terms of pitching, like the 10 strikeouts in five innings, home run really. And a couple,
not quite time for that game yet. We still got some more non-roster guys to talk about. So I think another name, obviously, that's kind of flown on the radar that we should talk about is Connor Grahams.
Yeah.
Even though his career hasn't quite gone the way that they've hoped, it's like, I think he's 26 years old and still kind of trying to learn how to pitch. When you consider the fact the guy throws 96 to 100 miles an hour with nasty breaking stuff, it's like, it's a comparable situation, I think, to Justin Martinez, where it's like the guy has nasty stuff. He just can't hit the strike zone sometimes. But he did look good in his one inning, or at least when he was on the mound. So far, he's faced the minimum through two hitters, no walks. I think he has two strikeouts. Now, obviously, he's going to strike out guys because he's got nasty stuff. It's like, the thing you're looking at is walks, and he had a lot of walks last year. If he can cut his walks in half, he's a major league pitcher right then and there.
Just the fact that he hasn't walked anyone in the two innings that he's pitched is impressive enough for him. So let's hope that that trend continues, because he does have some really, he has excellent velocity, nasty stuff, as long as he can hit the strike zone. I was going to say, Logan Allen's actually had a decent spring so far.
I was gonna say Logan Allen is probably, I don't know what role he's gonna have, but he's probably a long guy with Reno. It's my guess.
And then
in fact, I don't I'm think he has, I'll have to double check, but I don't think Logan Allen has options, which actually makes putting him on the roster very difficult. Especially for a guy whose role would be an up and down arm.
Yeah.
Let me double check. Sometimes Fangraphs can be wrong on the options, like with Luis Frias.
Well, there's another guy named Logan.
But that's because of the sneaky fourth option rule.
Yeah.
Just
keep him with Castellanos has been okay. I've never been terribly impressed with this stuff, but he hasn't given him a run in four innings, no walks.
Oh God, there's strikeouts. A third Logan Allen.
Yeah, there's three of them. There you go.
But anyways,
He was the Red Sox eighth rounder, so I don't know about the other Logan Allens, but
Well, the other Logan Allen, the one in Cleveland, is probably not available anytime soon.
Probably not.
And the third Logan Allen is 25 and is in the Tampa Bay system, but hasn't played since 2022. A little bit of a trivia question. Listen. And no, he doesn't. And if you're wondering what position he play, he's not a pitcher. He's an outfielder. Our third Logan Allen.
Of course, if only he was a pitcher.
14th rounder by Tampa Bay out of Arkansas Fort Smith is what it says.
Let's throw out some hitters just that have impressed you. Like what hitters have impressed you this spring?
From the non-roster standpoint, I really haven't seen much from the hitters. Obviously, there was that one at bat where Adrian Del Castillo turned Dominic Fletcher into a pretzel. Yeah. Smoked a line drive 106 miles an hour, and Dominic Fletcher went.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny because it's like the only time I've seen Dominic Fletcher play defense before is like, holy shit, well, how did he make that play? Kind of stuff. Not some weird circus act defensively. Also, Christian Robinson's going to be interesting. I feel like I get, I feel like he's getting closer. He's still not quite there. And I feel like the bat he had against JB Bukauskas kind of sums up his career pretty well. It's like, falls behind in the count, lays off some pretty nasty pitches to get back into it. And then just can't finish the at bat. Swing and miss the pitch that was farther off the plate than the ones he took, kind of thing. It just feels like he's not quite there yet, but there's hope.
This is the first normal spring training he's had in
4 years.
In 2019? Yeah. So he hasn't had a normal spring training. That's the thing is, like, this is really a key year for him.
Well, he had a normal spring training until he got shut down in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's really, like, that was the last time he had a normal spring training. So, without, like, legal and all that stuff. So, I mean, so hopefully he has a big year because he definitely has the talent. I mean, I know he's behind on, you know, pretty much everything in his development, but, you know, I'm not really that surprised that he hasn't, like, you know, been just raking out of the gates.
I actually think he's a better fourth outfield option than Vukovich because he can actually legitimately play the outfield well. There was one play
cannon for an arm.
One play against San Francisco, he closed a hard hit liner to the gap. He closed it so quickly, almost overran it.
Yeah, you know, he's a very athletic guy. And he's got some serious. I think he could be if he gets the reps in. I think he can be an above average defensive. You know, at all three outfield positions.
Well, if K-Rob can hit 250 in the major league season, I do with at least 500 plate appearances. I think Dave McKay can help him win a Gold Glove. That's how much I think of his defense.
He's
win a Gold Glove in right field.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, I mean, he's one of those, like, that really got a cannon for an arm. That's all I got to say. Like, he's probably got one of the stronger arms. I think it's from his whole ordeal has contributed to that because when he was drafted, his arm was like,
well, he wasn't
ridiculous.
Drafted.
I mean, not drafted. I mean, when he was signed early on in his where did I see it? Yeah, no, I mean, he's just impressed me when I have seen him actually make a throw that required effort. So, you know,
I think it's a matter of consistency with defense. And then obviously on the offensive side, I think he needs to get a strikeout rate down. Now, we're not talking a jump with Melendez. Like, Melendez needs to go like minus 10 strikeouts plus 5 walks. Robinson just needs to cut the strikeouts. The walks are fine. If Robinson's a 25 and 10 in double A, it's like, okay, up to Reno.
Where is he?
And if it's the same in Reno, it's like, okay, give him a look.
So he's got 3 strikeouts in 8 games this spring and 9 at bats, which is not.
Does that count today?
Still 30. I don't know. I'm on the official website. I think it does.
I wouldn't put too much. I mean, with Robinson's, like, I probably don't put too much into the stats. He gets like 1 at bat a game, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Melendez and Vukovic have been getting more at bats.
Oh yeah.
In a game.
I mean, they're decent enough results for, you know, so like he seems like he's progressing. I'm trying. Are there really any other like standouts here among the hitters? And I really don't think that there are. I mean, you said Jansel, Luis, Hansel, Luis.
Well, I've only seen 1 at bat, but it was a very good one.
Yeah, that. So he's a standout for that. I mean, he's a super young guy, and you know, what's the word I'm looking for? She shows an advanced kind of approach for someone in his age. What you're saying?
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, I saw that firsthand against Milwaukee. It was like facing JB Bikaskis, who's, I don't know if he'll make their opening day bullpen, but he'll throw a significant number of innings for them for the season. This is a major league level pitcher.
Yeah.
And this is one pitch after looking pretty bad on a well located fastball. He gets a fastball a little bit elevated out over the plate. Solid hit line drive the other way for a double. And now, of course, the left fielder made it look more interesting than it actually was, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it didn't cost his team any bases.
Yeah.
It was like a purely hit line drive. There wasn't a lot of slicing action on that, or at least from my vantage point. But then again, I could have a crappy vantage point with slicing liners. But it kind of held its line pretty well. I think the ball had an XB of 430. Yeah. So it's like, okay. It's like decently hit ball.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually excited to see what he does at, you know, the higher levels of the, you know, but is he high? Is he going to be in Hillsboro or Visalia?
He'll start the year of Visalia. He's, if I remember correctly, let's see, turns. So yeah, Luis turns 19, I think, later this month.
Okay. Which is still like that's he has a really good potential of shooting up the prospect list this season with a good year.
Yeah, depending on obviously who you talk
he's not going to stand a chance at advancing very far this season. I wouldn't think that he'd go higher than double A at the end of the year.
No, I don't think he'll be in double A. In the year,
it's gonna be
unless he literally torches Visalia and is up in Hillsboro by June 1st. I don't think this is a case. I don't think we're talking about Jordan Lawler here.
Yeah, I mean he was okay in Visalia last year. He 257.
Okay, Visalia 18 is still decent. 17.
That's decent. Yeah, that's decent there. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily repeat him. I would start him in Hillsboro and then see how he does, see if he can hold his own. But then again, you have some other draft needs that you'd rather, you know, I think they'll probably start Tommy Troy there. Yeah. Or
well, I mean, if Luis were in Hillsboro, he wouldn't be able to play shortstop.
Yeah, that's pretty much the thing. So yeah, Visalia probably make the most sense.
Although in Visalia, they're gonna have him and Torin switch between second base and shortstop most of the year. They're gonna get games at both positions. Even though long-term, like, Luis is going to end up at second base.
Yeah, it's good to get him the reps there. Because it just gives him the chance to be... You never know. It's one of those things where you have a shortstop come up. You know, like, it's just the way kind of things work. It's good to have him have the opportunity to be able to, you know both positions, get the reps there. Are there any other standouts that you want to talk about before we go to the next segment?
No, that's about it. That's about it.
I got nothing.
All right. So we're going to play a game of, and we're going to take three potential starting pitchers competing for the fifth rotation spot. And we're going to play the game of MLB rotation, Reno rotation, or to the bullpen with the E. And our three lucky pitchers are going to be Tommy Henry, Ryan Nelson, and Slade Ciccone. So I'll let you go first, Wes. What do you have? and there's probably a good chance we had the same answer.
I think Tommy Henry is the he's the obvious starter. Left-handed, he's had pretty good results so far this spring. It pretty much seems like it's been his job to lose, like we talked about before on the podcast. Ryan Nelson, he's kind of impressed me enough as this spring that I'm torn between putting him in Reno as a starter versus keeping him at the major league level as a reliever. Slade Ciccone, I think that he should be converted to a reliever.
Is that where you're going with?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
So I'm actually going to give a different answer. So I have, so obviously we have the same result for the fifth starter, but I'm actually going to have Nelson go to the bullpen and Ciccone goes to Reno.
Yeah.
Cause I think, with Nelson, he's a fastball slot. Nelson's a two pitch pitcher when he's on, and I'm not entirely sure the changeup's going to come along quickly enough that keeps him in the rotation. And I don't like the idea of having a two pitch guy in your rotation, a guy that you have to pull by the fifth inning every time because of that. And of course, Ciccone kind of has that same problem as well. It's more of a durability standpoint, more so than a stuff standpoint. And you can fix you can fix conditioning more than you can fix stuff. Like a pitcher may never, Nelson may never develop a great feel for his changeup. Kind of thing, and that's going to handicap him as a starting pitcher. Whereas Slade Ciccone, it's like, okay, it's conditioning, that's always been the thing, and that can always be improved with the right training regimen. And from what I heard from Torrey, it's like Ciccone definitely start seeing his stuff fall off around 65 pitches, which, of course, if that's the case, then you have a problem with the pitcher that's like, okay, can this guy get more than 12 outs on a consistent 15 outs on a consistent basis? Like you were talking about your fifth star, you need a guy that can get you 15 outs a game.
Yeah, I mean, consistently get you 15 outs a game.
I feel like Henry can do that.
Ciccone to reliever. Ciccone, I think, I don't know if he'll ever, you're almost better off as having him as a reliever, not having to worry about it being, the conditioning enough to stay in the game that long. Nelson has progressed really. I like to see him continue to progress as a starter for another, half a season before you make the decision of converting to relief. Yes, I think his stuff plays really well as a bullpen. Like he definitely can consistently, he'd be a shutdown closer, an all-star closer with the kind of, with what he throws. If he develops that path as a pitcher, the right way. Ciccone, I just don't think he's going to have the durability.
So if Ciccone can get you to, can keep his best stuff for 80 pitches, I mean, that's good enough.
Yeah,
he can squeeze him out another 10, 15 pitches before it starts falling off. And Nelson does have the same problem, too. His fastball velocity starts dipping by the third inning. So it's like.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. You can make the same argument for both players.
Yeah. And Ciccone does have a third pitch. That's what gives him the edge, in my opinion. Now, of course, he shouldn't use it too much, like he did against the Reds. I think he was trying too hard to prove that he had a third pitch instead of compete. And Torrey was not happy about that after the game. And Ciccone was smart enough to figure out, okay, I screwed up. Because he kind of regretted trying to showcase his changeup to prove that he had a third pitch. Which in spring training, it's like first time through the order, you can pretty much decimate lines with a fastball slider.
Yeah.
And then mix in the curveball changeup second time through against left-handed hitters.
You know what kind of says to me with Nelson, where I think that it's like his only real he just did not have a scouting report for Chung Ho Lee at all.
Well,
exactly. So, I mean, his main thing is with a better game plan. I think that he definitely needs to succeed as a starting pitcher. I wonder, the thing I worry about with both of these, like, okay, so you're going to develop them in Reno. What?
I would say with Nelson, there's no point in sending him down to Reno.
Reno is, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, it really, that might be the best way to go about it is to have, Tony has more progress, with that third pitch that I think that it's worth. I think it's worth it with both of them, to be honest.
Well, I would say also we're at the point where the Dynamax need to start making decisions and converting guys, as we mentioned in the previous episode.
Yeah.
And not everyone's going to start. I mean, not everyone's going to start, and that's okay. Now, of course, I don't think they should convert both Nelson and Ciccone. Of course, I think they should convert Jarvis because I don't think he has the, he's still more of a stuff over command pitcher for one and two. Jarvis, when he's off, he's very, it's a lot of uncompetitive misses, a lot of deep counts. Yeah. And there's nothing close to he's an inefficient pitcher current stage of his career. And some of these guys, you might be better off just letting them, and Bryce Jarvis is worth just letting them eat for two innings at a time, as opposed to seeing if they can go for five, six innings, and you end up getting like halfway in, you get four.
I mean, that's kind of what my attitude was with, like, what I'm saying with Chicago is that, you know, given that going deep into games is a problem for him, conditioning is a problem, might he, you know, have better results throughout the whole season, you know, only appearing for, you know, one or two innings at a time versus four if he has a, you know, bad start, five if he has a good start. Maybe less.
I mean, that's true for all of them.
I think he's better off. And I think it's, you know, it's really that, yeah, it applies to all of them. I think the team's going to need to make those decisions soon because they're starting to kind of have a collection of guys like this pretty soon. That's pretty much like that's been hashed out from there. Henry is, definitely progress enough that you can, you know, he's a starter. His stuff doesn't play well in the bullpen. There's not really an advantage of making that move. Nelson could probably bump up his velocity a little bit. So can Ciccone. So, I mean, my thing is you let them start until they prove they're not starters.
Or the major league needs supersede their long-term thing. Like with Jarvis last year. And that's, I think that's the case with Ryan Nelson.
That's probably the case is that he's, you know, the team could utilize him more that is the case. Right now, the starting rotation is pretty much, you know, figured out. It's Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, Brandon Fott, Tommy Henry. That's going to be the opening day rotation. 99% chance it's going to be the opening day rotation.
Well, I'm also going to drop in one last parting shot before we go. For those that look, the box score against Milwaukee, the box score can lie. Got ambushed for three runs early in the start, but otherwise settled in after that. And I don't think we're talking about Mad Bum 2.0 here.
Yeah, that was one thing that I wanted to stress before we wrapped up is that, we're talking about read, practice.
It's like read the article. It will better describe what Eduardo Rodriguez in a line scored. Line scores can lie sometimes.
Yeah. I think he could have warmed up a little bit more. I think that's, you know, one of those things where, like I said, we're talking about practice. An established starting pitcher. A whole lot of starting pitchers that are, you know, veterans, they are not necessarily trying to, like, play their best. They are just trying to figure out, like, this pitch or, like, you know, oh, hey, if I slightly change this aspect of my windup or my, you know, my swing, what will happen? That's the norm
for established players. So I was say we're in Paul Sewell's case, see if he can develop a changeup. Although he did add the caveat, if it's not good enough to get Ohtani and Freeman out, you're not using it.
yeah, that's a wise decision by on his part. I think that that pretty much wraps it up.
Yep. So thanks everyone for watching. If you enjoyed the content, make sure to do all of those things, like subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and comment down below and yourself play the game of Reno bullpen starting pitcher with Henry Nelson Cicone. Who do you have going where in the comments? So you said, next time out, we will talk about, well, actually we'll see what happens over the next week. We'll talk about, maybe we talk about perhaps, starting to project the opening day roster next time around. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's pretty reasonable. I think we could figure it out from, I think it's halfway through spring training. The next round of cuts will probably be out where we can figure that out.
Yeah, I think we'll start seeing from the 40-man roster as well. Like I said, all the roster cuts from this week are for non-roster guys.